If you'd like to turn in your Bibles this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 20. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 20. It's good to see everyone this morning. We do have a large number who are out, and we pray for them, and let's check on them. But if you're here this morning, we're encouraged by your presence. I am, and I hope that our time spent in a study of God's Word this morning will be encouraging. I've enjoyed the songs and the Lord's Supper and the Bible study already this morning and the prayers and other things, and it's encouraging. It builds us up, and I hope that our lesson this morning will do the same. On the first Sunday of this year, I preached a sermon, a 2020 vision for 2020, but I never knew how different this year would be. It's interesting how you can look back in hindsight and see a lot of things that have gone on. And now that we've come to the last Sunday of this year, I'm thinking about the things that have gone on this year and what should be on our mind as we go through challenging times. And I want to talk about that a little bit this morning. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 20, the Apostle Paul writes, "But now has Christ been raised from the dead, the first fruits of them that are asleep. For since by man came death," that's Adam, "by man, Christ, came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ, the first fruits, then they that are Christ's at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall deliver up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have abolished all rule and all authority and all power. For he must reign till he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be abolished is death." You know, you look back over this year and a lot of things have occupied our minds. Of course, we're very familiar how that the virus has been on the minds of individuals, and some have lost work due to that, and they're looking for work. Obviously, their employment is on their mind on a regular basis. Some, their jobs have been changed or curtailed in some way. Maybe they've had health issues this year that they have dealt with. Back in November, when it was time to vote, politics and voting and our nation's leaders were on the minds of individuals. And since then, there has been the state of the validity of the election, and there are those who say it was fair, there are those who say it was unfair, and there are different thoughts on that. That's been on the minds of individuals since November the 3rd. And then, of course, this past week, Christmas has been on the minds of individuals, and whether somebody celebrates that as the birth of Christ or not, that's always something that's on the minds of people. So you've got these different things that are on our minds. This morning, I wanted us to consider that there are going to be some things that are going to happen, and they could happen today. And I want us to keep those things on our minds, at the forefront, with all this other that is going on. We need to prioritize our thinking and make sure that we're always thinking about these things that are to come. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 24, Paul says, "Then cometh the end." In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, we read about the beginning of all things. Time as we know it, space, our world, our life. There was a beginning, and there's going to be an end. There's going to be an end. And it's that I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about this morning putting last things first. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in the next verse, Paul says, "The last enemy that shall be abolished is death." There's been a lot going on this year, and it's easy to get our minds on those things, and I'm not opposed, and I don't think it's wrong to think about the things that we've been thinking about this year, but I'm here to tell you this morning that there are some things that are going to come that are much, much more important than what we've been thinking about this year. There's going to come a time when all of this is going to end. And we need to be having that on our mind first and foremost. What is going to happen at the end of time? What is going to happen on the last day? That's what I want us to talk about. And these last things, and there are five of them that I want to talk about this morning, they need to be at the forefront of our mind. These other things are important, and we certainly need to think about them. But day to day, we need to have these last things as first on our mind. It's not work, and it's not school, and it's not the pandemic, and it's not the election, and it's not Christmas or any of it. It's what is going to happen when Jesus comes again. That's what needs to be on the forefront of our mind. And so as we think about this last Sunday of this year, I want us to think about the last things that are going to take place. We use a word, eschatology. The L-O-G-Y ending is a study of. The eschatos part means the last. There's going to be some things that God has planned that are going to be the last things that happen in time. And those things could be today. It's not all necessarily in the future. It could be today. These things need to be on our mind. And I want to talk about putting last things first in our mind. There are some things that are going to take place in the last day. And I want these things to always be at the forefront of our mind. This word is used, for example, in John chapter 6 and verse 39, where Jesus talks about those who believe in Him, He will raise them up in the last day. There's going to come a day where that's the last day. There is no tomorrow. And we need to have that on our mind. In spite of all these other things that are going on, this is the important thing to be thinking about. This word is used in the scripture reading that we just had in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 26. Paul talks about the last enemy is death. There's going to come a time when people don't die anymore. And there's going to be a resurrection. And there's going to be a heaven and a hell. And people are going to live forever in eternity. There are some last things that are going to take place. And they may take place even today and in our lifetime. And they need to be at the forefront of our mind. This word is used in 1 Corinthians 15 and later in the chapter when Paul talks about how that our bodies are going to be changed when Jesus comes again. And he talks about how that in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the trump shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. The last trump. The word is used in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5 where we have the last time. There's going to come a time when the clock is not going to work anymore. There's not going to be any more seconds or minutes or hours or days or weeks or months. It's all going to be over with. And so this morning, I want us to consider five last things that we need to be putting first in our mind. With everything going on, and we can think about all the kinds of things that are going on in my life and this and that. With all of that going on, what do I really need to be thinking about in the forefront of my mind? Putting last things first. Well, there's going to be the second coming of Jesus. And we don't need to forget that. We just sang, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. I want us to be there. I want us to, we'll all be there regardless, but I also want us to be there in the sense of being righteous. And I want us to keep this last thing in mind, that Jesus is coming again in the last day. And it's going to be personal. He's going to come Himself. Turn with me to Acts chapter 1. Each of these points could make an entire lesson. Each of these points could make a series of lessons. But I just want to hit the highlights this morning and remind us of these last things. And I want us to be putting these last things first in our mind. A lot of times when you want to know what's on a person's mind, listen to them talk. What have we been talking about this year? Has it been the second coming of Christ? Have we been talking about the coming judgment day? We tend to talk about other kinds of things, and I just simply want us to refocus our mind. In the first chapter of the book of Acts, Acts 1, 9 through 11, and when he had said these things, as they were looking up, he, Jesus, was taken up in a cloud, received him out of their sight. And while they were looking steadfastly into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, "You men of Galilee, why stand ye looking into heaven? This Jesus who was received up from you into heaven shall come in like manner as you beheld him going into heaven." He's personally going to come. He's not going to send somebody else. It's going to be visible. As you see him going up into heaven, you will be able to see him coming down out of heaven. It's going to be audibly. In John chapter 5, all that are in the tomb shall hear his voice. It's going to be audible. There's going to be the last trump. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 52. There's going to be a trump of a sound of an archangel blowing his trumpet. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We'll read that in a minute. There's going to be a shout. It's going to be audible. It's going to be personal. It's going to be visible. It's not going to be a secret situation. Everybody is going to know that it's happening. And it's going to be glorious. It's going to make everything that we've been thinking about this year pale in comparison. It's going to be one great day. When Jesus talks about his coming in Matthew chapter 25, he talks about how the Son of Man will come in his glory and all the angels with him. It's not going to be some mundane, boring type event. It's going to be glorious and spectacular. And it's going to be with fire. 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 7, he's going to come with his angels in flaming fire. This is not going to be something that will be ignored, or it will happen and you weren't really sure if it happened or not. Or did you see that? I don't know if I caught that or not. Everybody is going to catch it. And it's going to be a coming in the clouds. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Personal, audibly, visibly, and Jesus himself is going to come. Brethren, this is a last thing that we need to be keeping first in our mind. And are we ready for that day to come? For the Lord himself shall descend. Look at that. The Lord himself, he's personally going to come. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. You'll be able to hear it. With the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we that are alive, that is, we Christians, faithful, righteous, that are still living, that are left, shall together with them be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. It's going to be with the angels. And Jude says 10,000s of his holy ones will come. It's going to be a spectacular event. And last of all, it's going to be unannounced. It could happen today. And while our minds are on other things, I want us to draw our minds back into these last things that we need to be putting first, because it could easily be today. And I don't want our minds to be on other things. I want it to be on being ready for Jesus to come. He's going to come as a thief in the night. 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 3. And in Matthew chapter 25, at the end of the parable of the 10 virgins, the 5 wise and the 5 foolish, Jesus says, "You need to be ready. Watch, therefore, for you know not the day nor the hour." It's unexpected. He doesn't give us signs of His coming. He doesn't say, "This is when I'm going to come." I heard that back in the summer, some religious prognosticators were saying that COVID was the sign that Jesus was coming in 2020. They ignore various scriptures that say that we do not know the day nor the hour. It's unexpected, and He will come as a thief in the night. And so, number one, there's going to be the second coming of Jesus. That's going to happen in the last day, and we need to put that first in our minds. When He comes, there's going to be, number two, the resurrection of all the dead. Turn with me to John chapter 5 and verse 28. John chapter 5 and verse 28. Those that have died when He comes will all be raised, whether they're wicked or righteous, whether they're good or bad, whether they're just or unjust. Jesus said, "Marvel not at this, for the hour comes in which all that are in the tombs," underscore that, all, not some, "all that are in the tombs shall hear His voice, His coming will be audible, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, heaven, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of judgment, hell." Number one, all are going to be raised. We need to be having this on our minds. Now, it's possible that we could pass away before Jesus comes and our body is in a tomb and we're going to be raised. But one thing I want us to notice here is that when you die, the state that you die in, that's what you maintain when you're resurrected. And in verse 29, "they that have done good unto the resurrection of life." If you are doing good, you're doing what God wants you to do in the Scripture, you're going to be raised in a goodness state. And if you have done evil and have not changed the things that need to be changed, you're going to be raised in an evil state. We stay that same way. We don't change after we die. And so that needs to be on our mind. Life is short. We don't know when we're going to die. The people that think that they're going to live several years more, a lot of times they die, whether it's accidents or a health issue comes up, something happens. Some people don't make it to old age. And so when we die and Jesus comes and all that are in the tombs, how are we going to be raised? Will it be a resurrection of life for us or a resurrection of judgment? There's only two categories. Paul talks about this in Acts chapter 24 and verse 15. He calls it the resurrection of the just and the unjust. There's only two categories, and we're going to be in one or the other. That needs to be on our mind. And it will be a bodily resurrection. It's not going to be where simply our spirit is resurrected or our soul in some bodiless world. There's going to be a resurrection body. It will be different from the body that we now have. Paul says it'll be different. It'll be a spiritual body. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 42 to 44. And 2 Corinthians 5, 1 through 4. But it will be a bodily resurrection that will inhabit, as we'll see in a minute, one of two places. Are you ready for that resurrection day? It will not be a situation where we can bow out and say, I don't want to be a part of that. All that are in the tombs will hear His voice and will come forth. That will be something that you will be forced to do. You can't say, I don't want to come forth. We'll have to come out. And the dead right now are being held in what's called the Hadean realm, or Hades, Luke chapter 16. And those that are in torment with the rich man, their souls that are in that place in the Hadean realm are going to be joined with their body and they're going to be raised.
And all that were in paradise in Abraham's bosom, who are righteous and good, their soul is going to be joined with their body and they're going to be raised. And that intermediate state we call the Hadean realm, it's going to be over with. That's it. All will be raised. John says in the book of Revelation that death and Hades will give up its dead. Because there will be a resurrection of all. And if we are living when Jesus comes again, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If we're living when Jesus comes again, we won't be raised because we're living. But our bodies will be changed. We cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven, the eternal kingdom of heaven, in this physical body that we now have. And so in 1 Corinthians 15, when Jesus comes again, remember we read earlier in the chapter 15, verse 23, Christ at His coming. We're talking about things that happen when Jesus comes again. The kingdom will be delivered up. We'll talk about that later. And verse 51 and 52, our body is going to be changed. We will have a spiritual, glorious, heavenly body. It won't be this physical thing that you can poke on here this morning. There's going to be a resurrection. And the righteous dead and the righteous living will be joined together in the air. We just read that in 1 Thessalonians 4. And we'll be there with Christ forever. No one is going to go to heaven before anybody else. Nobody's going to go into the judgment day before anybody else. The dead will be raised. The righteous living will join them. And together they will go be with Christ in the air, Paul says. No one is going to precede or go before the other. That's what some of the Thessalonians were thinking. And Paul puts their anxiety at rest by saying, nobody's going to get somewhere before the living. Everybody is going to go there together. So we need to be thinking about this resurrection. Because it's the second last thing that we need to be putting first in our mind. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. The third thing that's going to happen in the last day is that there's going to be a destruction of this world that we now know. And the reason this is important to think about is that you think about so many people in the world today that are basing their life on the here and now. It's all about money and things, houses, cars, phones, things on the earth, physical things. Their life is wrapped up in physical kinds of things. You can tell that by what they talk about. One day it's all going to be burned up. It's going to be gone. We're not going to have access to that anymore. It's not going to be a part of anybody's life anymore. All the physical things, it's going to be gone. So let's not put a priority on those things. It's going to be gone. You can't take it with you. It's going to be gone. And so in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10, we learn about a third thing that is going to take place in the last day, and that is the destruction of all of the physical world around us. The day of the Lord, that's the day when Jesus comes again, will come as a thief, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall be dissolved with fervent heat, and the earth and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing that these things are thus all to be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy living and godliness, looking for and earnestly desiring the coming of the day of God? And then he repeats it again. By reason of which the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved. He repeats it again. And the elements shall melt with fervent heat. But according to his promise, we look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. We can't put our confidence and trust and priority in all of the physical things around us. It's going to be burned up. It's going to be gone. So look at what Peter says in verse 12. Seeing that this is going to happen, verse 11, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy living? That's what matters. Holiness is what we take from this life to the next life. You can't take any of the physical stuff with you. It's going to be burned up. But holiness is what's important.
Jesus said in Matthew 24 and verse 35 that heaven and earth will pass away.
It's not going to be here. It's going to be gone. God is not going to restore it. He's not going to renew it. He's not going to revamp it. He's not going to do any of that. It's going to be gone.
It's going to be burned up. And to use the language of Revelation 20 in verse 11, if you'll turn with me there, it's going to be no more. It's going to vanish. And so let us not put our hope and trust and confidence and our concern and care on those kinds of things. We need physical things to live and to work and different things, but that's not where our love and confidence and concern is all about. It's on holiness. Revelation 20 and verse 11, "And I saw a great white throne and him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them." There's no more a place for them. It's gone. Why? It's burned up. It's passed away. Revelation 21 verse 1, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth are passed away, and the sea is no more." And so the third thing that is going to happen in the last day that we need to be keeping first in our life is that all of this physical world that we know is going to be gone, it's going to be burned up. And none of the physical things that we've had will be a part of the equation anymore. So let's not put a trust in that now. The fourth last thing that's going to happen is that when all of this is over with, Jesus is going to come and then there will be a general resurrection. After everyone is resurrected, there's going to be a destruction of this world. It's going to be gone. And then there's going to be the final judgment day. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 25 and verse 31. There's going to be a judgment day, and we could be facing that sooner than we think. We don't know when Jesus is coming again. It could be today. And I want us to keep these last things first on our mind. And I want us to be ready to meet Jesus and face Him in that judgment day. Jesus said in Matthew 25:31, "When the Son of Man shall come in His glory and all the angels with Him, then shall He sit on the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all the nations, and He shall separate them one from another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on His left." And at the end, verse 46, "Some shall go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." We'll talk about that in a minute. It's going to be a judgment day. And all are going to be judged. Every one of us, from Adam and Eve all the way down through time up until the day that Jesus comes, everyone is going to be standing there. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 20. We read verse 11. Let's pick up the reading again in verse 12. We're all going to be there, brethren and friends. This needs to be on our mind. This needs to be what we're talking about. This needs to be what we're focusing on. Revelation 20 and verse 12, "I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne," because there's been a resurrection of all. "And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire." There's not going to be death in an intermediate state anymore. That's over with. We're talking about, brethren, the last things, the last things that God has planned. In Genesis 1 and verse 1, God had a beginning of all things. Brethren, there's going to come an end of all things. There's going to be the last thing. We're talking about the last things this morning. That's it. And I want us to be putting that first in our mind. And so all of this is gone. And in verse 15, "If any was not found written in the book of life, that is, I've obeyed the gospel and I'm living faithfully,
he was cast into the lake of fire. That's what that song is based upon that we sang before the lesson. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. That's the roll of God's book of life. Everybody's going to be there. Wicked and righteous, all are going to be standing before the judgment seat. And so, in that sense, everybody's going to be there. And when we say, I'll be there, in that sense, I'll be there. We're all going to be there. But we also need to be there as a righteous individual who's living right, and our name is written in the book of life. That's the role that our name needs to be on. And when we say, I'll be there, let's be living in such a way that that's going to come about. Because we're all going to be judged. And Jesus will be the judge. We read in Matthew 25 that He's going to sit on His throne. And in Acts chapter 17, when Paul is preaching in Athens, he says that all men everywhere should repent because God has appointed a day in which He will judge the world by His Son, Jesus Christ, whom He has raised from the dead. God is going to let Jesus be the judge and the administrator of that judgment on that great day. And Jesus is going to use the words found in the New Testament as the standard of the judgment. Look at verse 12 of Revelation chapter 20. The books were opened. The books were opened. Jesus is not going to use His opinions and what He thinks and feels. He's not going to use societal norms. He's not going to use human philosophies. He's going to use His Word that were recorded in the books. The books of God's Word that we have in our Bible. And for us, Matthew through Revelation, the law of Christ that we are under today, that is going to be the standard of judgment. The words that I spake, the same shall judge you in the last day, John 12:48. So that book that you hold in your hand this morning, the Bible, that you already know what's going to be on the test. Do you remember that when the teacher gave you the answers to the test? You thought that was pretty cool. Every once in a while a teacher would say, we're going to have a test on Friday. Let me go ahead and give you the questions and let me help you find out what those answers are ahead of time. Every once in a while a teacher would do that. Do you know that you have the answers to the test ahead of time? It's in that book you hold called the Bible. We know what's going to be on the test. That's going to be the standard of judgment. Let's be living in such a way that we are right with God. And we're going to have to give an account of the things that are done in the body. That is brought up here in verse 12, according to their works. And we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the deeds that are done in the body. The Scripture says that what we say, we will have to give an account of, and what we do, and even our thoughts, 1 Corinthians 4, even our thoughts will be brought into an account. And so all that we have said and done and thought, we will give an account. This is something that needs to be on our mind. That final judgment, that last day judgment day. And if we're in the kingdom and we're faithful Christians, 1 Corinthians 15:24, we have to be in the kingdom. Christ said that He will deliver up that kingdom to His Father. We want to be in that church, that kingdom that Christ gives to His... Here are my kingdom. Here they are. And you and I need to be there. There won't be any other time to get in the kingdom. We need to be in it when He delivers that up to God. And those who have not obeyed the gospel, Paul says, will be punished with everlasting destruction. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. This is a grave day and a serious matter for those who have not obeyed the gospel. We've been talking in the Bible class about the importance of doing personal work and trying to talk with others about the Word of God. If nothing else, we don't want them to face the vengeance and the wrath of Christ when He comes. At the revelation of the Lord Jesus, that is His coming from heaven with the angels of His power in flaming fire, rendering vengeance to them that know not God and to them that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus, who shall suffer punishment, even eternal destruction from the face of the Lord and from the glory of His might. What a terrible thing to have to face that. And when you read in that verse 8, them that obey not the gospel, that's not just talking about non-Christians. a Christian can stop obeying the gospel. When he says, who have not obeyed the gospel, that would certainly include the non-Christian who hadn't been baptized yet. That's right. But it would also include any one of us who ceases to live right according to the gospel. And so we need to continue to obey that gospel. But that judgment day is coming. And I want us to be on the right side of that judgment when it comes. And then last of all, the last final thing that will happen is that when that judgment day is over with, there's going to be an eternal abode, an eternal dwelling. And it's hard. I can't get my mind around eternity. I am so conscious of seconds and how long a second is and how long an hour is. I have a hard time grasping eternity. No time whatsoever, forever. But it will be eternal. And there will be only one of two places, heaven or hell. And they are eternal and fixed in nature. Jesus describes it as eternal life or eternal destruction. And they're fixed. You can't cross over from one to the other. There's no changing later. There's no getting out of one and getting into the other because somehow you did some good things after the judgment day. It doesn't work like that. And so we have this one last thing, and that is the eternal abode that is fixed. And Scripture portrays heaven as a beautiful place where we want to be. We're given a glimpse of it in Revelation 21 and 22 and a few other places in Scripture, and how we sing in our song books how beautiful heaven must be, and it is. And that's where we want to be. And we want to be with God around His throne. Let us live in such a way and have on our mind these last things so that we can go and be there. He that overcomes shall inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. And you read in Revelation 21 in the first few verses of 22 about that beautiful place around God's throne. That's where we want to be, with the righteous of all time. But hell is horrible. In verse 8, but for the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and fornicators and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part shall be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Somebody said, if you speak of hell and you don't cry, you haven't really fully grasped hell. And there's probably some truth to that, although I've spoken a lot about hell before and I wasn't crying. But I understand the sentiment of that. We really need to understand the gravity of that place. The awfulness of that place. We really need to get our minds around that. It's not a cuss word. It's a terrible place. And it is so bad that it's described as the second death. Death is their separation from all that is good. It's just a horrible place. And those are our two eternal abodes that await us. Let us live in such a way that we are going to that beautiful place of heaven and not the horribleness of hell. Five last things. This morning I want us to put last things first. With everything that's going on, I want us to put last things first. And if we will, then you'll see that it turns our life around and our thinking around. If we're always thinking about Jesus coming again, we will be ready. And that's Jesus' point with the parable of the 10 virgins. We will always be watching and we will be waiting. Hebrews 9:28, those who wait for Him unto salvation. We're watching and waiting because Jesus' second coming is always on our mind. And if we're thinking about the resurrection, Paul says that we will be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. For you know that your labor is not in vain. We're going to be raised. And so all this hard work that we're doing as a Christian, which we should be busy doing, it's not in vain. We need to be just always doing it because one day we will be raised and rewarded for that. You see, the resurrection on our mind keeps us steadfast. And if we always understand that this world is going to be burned up, we're always going to have our mind on the spiritual and not on the physical. It's going to be gone. And there will be holiness and godly living. We will be blameless and holy and godly living. That's what's going to be on our mind. Because we know that the physical things of this world are going to be burned up. And if we're always thinking about that coming judgment day, then we're going to repent and be ready to stand before our judge. And if we have said or done or thought something that is not right, we're going to repent and change that and get away from that. Be it through baptism or prayer and repentance for the erring Christian, because we want to stand before the judge right. And if heaven and hell are always on our minds, then as John says, he that overcomes shall inherit these things. He'd been talking about heaven. Whatever comes up in life, we're going to overcome that so that we can go to heaven. I believe it's time to put last things first and keep those things always on our mind. We're going to stand and sing this song of encouragement in just a moment. There may be someone here this morning that maybe we have not been putting last things first and we've strayed in some way. We can come back to the Lord. Let's do that. If there's someone that we can talk to about obeying the gospel for the first time, let's do that, because clearly last things are not on their mind. The things of this life are on their mind, but not these last things. Let's put last things first so that we're ready when Jesus comes. If we can help you in some way, why won't you come as we stand and sing this song of encouragement?